Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And so far, we're not being censored on the airwaves, but I say that because our church had our live service feed cut off by YouTube tonight for violating YouTube standards. How about that? We'll touch on that probably a little bit here in the course of the evening, but what a surprise. And I'm getting used to being censored on Facebook. Periodically, you get the Facebook mask of shame, and you get the Facebook censors that may or may not know what they're talking about. But that's a whole other area. We'll get into some of those things perhaps a little bit tonight. But we'd also like to talk about your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. So I hope you'll stick with us here this evening, and you can join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can call toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we will get you on the air here with us this evening. And I think we're going to go ahead and get our program off to start here with a word of prayer this evening. So let's go ahead and do that right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air this evening. Pray that you would bless and again, just give us an opportunity to be a witness, to be a testimony for you. Lord, we just ask that we could be a blessing to somebody tonight. We can help people that are searching find Jesus Christ and be able to put their faith in him, know him as their Lord and Savior. I also pray that we can help believers in their walk with you as well. And just pray again, use the program tonight for your glory. And we just thank you for the opportunity. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, like I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis. I'm pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also go over to our Facebook page when we're not being given the Facebook mask of shame, when they try to censor some of the things we post at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And you can like us there, follow us there, and you'll be able to see some of the things that I post there. Sometimes people wonder about some of the things I post. A lot of things I post is because I'm looking at stuff and looking up stuff, maybe reading about things, following some stories. And oftentimes I'll post some articles partly so that I can find them easier and come back to them. But I'm finding more and more, and of course more and more people are reporting the same thing where Facebook is censoring the things that are on there, and they're fact checkers, which we have proven that they're not always 100% accurate. And sometimes, in fact, quite often, the Facebook fact checkers are wrong, and they throw out things that are perfectly legitimate because their fact checkers said it was wrong. And you have no recourse, of course, on Facebook. So that's just the way it is. Well, there are alternatives. And let me encourage you to check out some of those alternatives that are out there. And, of course, the two that I have been trying to encourage people to go to, one, of course, is Parler.com. That's Parler.com. And it is friendly to conservatives. It is friendly to Christians. And you don't have the faceless Facebook factless checkers issuing the Facebook mask of shame. And the other one is USA.life. That's USA.life. You can get on both of those for free. And I think USA.life is the newer of the two. It's run by some Christians. And I'm not going to say that they're perfect. I'm not going to say that they're without problems and some occasional glitches. And I'm still learning how to use them myself. I've been on USA.life, I think, for a couple of months now. And Parler.com for a little bit. You can go to Parler.com and look up Pastor Al Davis, or you can go to USA.life /live with Pastor Al, just like on Facebook.com/live with Pastor Al. You can find me there, and you can get a feel for it. What I need now is a good alternative to YouTube, because we've been broadcasting our church services on YouTube for a while now, and we've also been endeavoring, it didn't always work, but we've been endeavoring to broadcast our radio programs live on YouTube as we're on the air, and doesn't always work. Sometimes we have some problems, sometimes we have different things going on, but tonight, as I said earlier, we started out our church service tonight, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. By the way, I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church located in Richfield, Ohio. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road, midway between Akron and Cleveland, northern Summit County, right where Interstate 77 and the Ohio Turnpike cross. You can get there from our Facebook, or I'm sorry, our webpage, live at pastoral.com. Just follow the link, you'll find the church. And so we just started our services, and we're going along fine, and somebody says, "You're not broadcasting anymore." And guess what? They had thrown us off for violating YouTube's stringent standards. One of the things that they said initially was that we had violated copyright laws. We were having a church service and singing songs that we have sung, many times during our church service that's been carried on YouTube. Never had any problems before. However, tonight, it just seemed like I had been talking about the governor's face mask nonsense and pointing a few things out. And it was right about that time, I think, trying to reconstruct what happened, that they didn't just cut us off. They cut us off and scrubbed the whole program. I mean, it's just the whole video just completely gone. And I believe they cut us off about the time that I was telling about how on our Friday night Bible study we were talking about this, and we had some people that were there tonight that weren't there at our Friday night Bible study or there in our morning service where I mentioned this as well. And talking about how the mandate to wear masks was extended to Summit County. We're in Summit County, not Cuyahoga County. And so people were concerned about that. So I read the governor's mandate, his order that came from the Department of Health. And there's exemptions carved out for certain situations, certain groups. And one of the exemptions that was carved out was for officiants in religious services. And it didn't define what an officiant is. And so, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, I was saying, "Hey, what's an officiant? Well, since they didn't define it, it's up to us to define it. So let's look to the Bible. Since we're Richfield Bible Baptist Church, we're a Bible-believing church, so let's let the Bible define what an officiant is." And I went over to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people." And I said, so the Bible tells us we're three things here, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, actually four, and a peculiar people. I said, oh, here's a royal priesthood. What's a priesthood composed of? Well, the answer is priests. And that's because the Bible teaches that if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're saved, if you're born again, you are a priest with Christ. Christ is our high priest, and we are priests under Christ. Every believer, men, women, young, old, if you put your faith in Christ according to the Word of God, and this is not the only passage that teaches this, you are a priest. So I said, hey, The mandate exempts officiants at religious services. I said, I think even the governor would agree that a priest is an officiant. Well, somewhere in there, we got cut off by YouTube at violating their standards. So, yes, so I need to find an alternative to YouTube that we can broadcast on if YouTube's going to start censoring us as well now. But at any rate, check us out, and hopefully we can be a blessing with some of our things online. Instagram. Don't have an Instagram account yet, but they're doing the same thing I hear too. So I'm trying to get into a more friendly, conservative, Christian-friendly service. So who owns Instagram? Do you know offhand? Is it same people that have Facebook? Yeah, see, it's the same people. And I keep getting that Facebook mask of shame. So, any rate, wanted to share that with you. Pray for us and pray for others. I mean, if you know, really, all things considering, considered, if this is the worst that we have to deal with, it's really not bad. This is, I mean, we're able to do things that people in other countries cannot do. We're actually able to do things that people in other states cannot do. And so do continue to pray that God's people continue to labor and be a witness for Christ. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our telephone number is 888-677-9673. And speaking of other states, we've got Tom calling all the way from Florida tonight. Tom, good to hear from you again. How are you doing?
Well, good evening, Pastor. Doing real well down here, and I just wanted you to know that the Amen Corner will never censor you.
I appreciate that. I'm so thankful to have you, and I appreciate your prayers.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, sir. Sorry to hear about all that stuff that's going on.
Well, as somebody, we were talking about that at church, and one of the gentlemen in church, he said, well, it's when you're over the target that you start taking flack, so.
I guess so. Yes, yes. Yeah, well, Pastor, I was looking at a verse today in fellowship, mm-hmm. and it's right next door to where you just were a minute ago, and this is 2 Peter chapter 3 and 4.
2 Peter chapter 3?
I'm sorry, chapter 1.
Oh, okay, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4.
Verses 3 and 4. It's just such a dynamic little section of the Word of God, and it seems as though every phrase in those two verses are so dynamic. And I thought I would allow you to comment on them. You know, it says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And it just seems as though you could take every phrase in those two verses apart and almost make a teaching from them.
Oh, absolutely. That is a very powerful passage there. And, you know, this in actuality, if you look at it, the entire section from verse number 1, this is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1 through verse number 4, I believe is one sentence. And the part that you read, verses 3 and 4, is sort of the last half of that sentence. And it starts with Peter's greetings and reminder of whom he is and the prayer, grace, and peace for them and all of that. And then is where he comes into what you read, according as his divine power, meaning God's divine power, and hath given unto us, meaning those of us who've put our faith in Christ, given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And when you look at that, all things, that's just a great passage. I'm glad you brought this up, Tom, because when you think about this, all things, you know, some people think sometimes God's withholding something that they need from them. And even the best of us sometimes will go through a period of time where we have some doubt or some struggles and maybe a crisis of faith, even something happens. And we think God is withholding something from us. But right here, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And I think if you look in the Greek and do an exhaustive study, you'll find that all means just exactly that, all. He doesn't withhold anything from us that pertains unto life and godliness. And that right there is a powerful message and promise just there. If you don't go any further, but as you go further, like you said, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And we know this because of the knowledge of him, the one that's called us to glory and virtue. And if he wants us to go on to glory and be virtuous, then obviously he's going to give us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And then when we get down to verse 4, it's got that little connecting phrase there, whereby, and on the basis of all this, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises. And just that alone, those are exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Remember, we're supposed to become Christ-like. When we get saved, according to Romans chapter 3, God puts literally the righteousness of Christ on us. People wonder how a Christian can get saved, and then what happens if you commit a sin? Do you lose your salvation, or you become condemned all over again? But when you get saved, the blood of Christ not only cleanses from all sin initially, but it's an ongoing thing, and God has put his righteous nature on us and adopted us into his family. And so those sins are all covered by the blood of Christ and under his righteousness. And so we become partakers, of the divine nature. And then, as he says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, we do not have to live in the filth, in the mud, and wallow in the dirt like the unsaved do, worrying and trying to struggle to get by, because we've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, because we've been brought unto better things, and we have better promises given to us, great and precious promises. So, yeah, just a quick synopsis of that right there. I mean, that's a great, great passage. I think if I hadn't started preaching through 1 Timothy this morning at our church, I'd be tempted to say, hey, I think I'll start on 2 Peter next week.
Yeah, maybe you will.
I will get there eventually. I started going through 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and I thought that while I'm at it, I want to go through 1 and 2 Peter, or I'm sorry, Timothy. I was looking at a continuity there. I don't always go, from Matthew through Revelation or from Genesis to Malachi or something. But sometimes I'll do several books in a row. But I haven't been in 1 and 2 Peter for a while, so I may have to get over there here before too long.
Yes. Well, Pastor, whether or not you're on YouTube, we are more than conquerors in every situation. And I think those people who might have been listening on YouTube and then got cut off, they're going to hear it. They're going to hear it.
Well, I hope they heard something.
Yeah. They may have to do like what I do and just Google WHKW and pick it on the radio. They will hear like I am hearing you. And I really appreciate your faithfulness every week, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, and I sure appreciate your prayers there and the whole group down there in St. Petersburg. And I also appreciate you mentioning the website for the radio station here, whkwradio.com. You can listen live streaming broadcast there. And so I appreciate
that's
that.
That's how I do it. It makes it very simple.
Yeah, and get our Friday program that way as well, every Friday afternoon at 1:30. Till 1 or till 2, 1:30 till 2. And so, but appreciate that, Tom.
You're welcome. This time I can't brag about our weather because we probably have about the same thing. So I'll call you in about 6 months, okay?
Hey, yeah, I know. Hey, a couple of you guys from Florida from our time when we used to be on air down in Tampa that just seemed to like calling and telling in the middle of the wintertime when we're like up to our eyeballs in snow and blizzard conditions, they like to call and say, well, I had to get a coat out today because it dipped down into the 60s.
Yes. We like to do that. I will say this in closing. You said a word that I had not heard in ages and ages and ages, and that was a couple of weeks ago. You used the word the shore way, and I'm a Clevelander, and that's that's the term we always use.
Yeah, but out on the shoreway.
We don't say that down here, and it was just delightful to hear.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you have other people and other things to do, but I just wanted to thank you, Pat.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate that. And
have a blessed night.
You too. God bless. Take care then. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. So we're going from Florida, and we're coming back up to Ohio with Nancy calling in tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. And I have to make a confession.
Confession's good for the soul, Nancy.
Yes, I have become addicted to your Friday night Bible study. It's not only informative, educational, but enjoyable.
I just
really enjoy it.
Yeah, I have to mention that somewhere I must have been sleeping when I was in Bible school. I missed the section of the course where we're supposed to make it miserable and boring. You know, and every once in a while I do have to rebuke people and say, now listen, there's too much levity in this room, too many smiles, there's too many people enjoying themselves. Now cut that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, but you share biblical truths, and you're not afraid to talk about the current political situation, but you always bring the Bible into it to analyze it. And I don't want you to get too big of a head, but I just noticed that you're very humble with your great wealth of knowledge. You just seem to be able to talk endlessly about any subject anybody brings up, and I'm assuming it's all accurate. It just seems very
well. I hope so. I do read a lot, and you know, I've had quite a varied background in my life, and I've always been interested in a lot of things. And basically one of my greatest desires with the Friday Night Bible Study, indeed with a lot of our church services and with the radio program, is to help people to understand, like we use this phrase, we don't always say it as much, but it's on our business card, and we've got it on, I think, on our webpage and all. You don't have to check your brains at the door in order to believe the Bible. And some people think that. Some people think you don't think when you go to church. And we don't want people. We want people to have a reason for what they believe. I want to help people develop a biblical worldview. Everybody has some kind of a worldview. A worldview being that which we use to, you know, like you ever hear expression, they look at the world through rose-colored glasses. So you put them on, it tints everything with a kind of a rosy color. Well, our worldview affects how we look at the world. If we have a biblical worldview, then we view the world through the lens of the Bible. If we have a money-oriented worldview, then we tend to view things around us on how much it costs, how much we can make out of it, how much it'll affect our pocketbook. Some people have a worldview that's affected by how much people care about them, and so everything they look at is through the lens of, will it make me popular or will it alienate people? And we want the biblical worldview, because that's what God has for us, so that we can understand things and sort it out according to God's word. That's kind of what we're trying to develop.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, you certainly do an excellent job of it. Now, I just was really sort of surprised, although not really too surprised, that YouTube took you off because you were explaining something that they probably feel threatened at. They don't want this to get out about, you explained to us Friday night, at the Bible study about 1 Peter 2:9.
Right.
Justifying that we don't have to wear a mask because we are part of a holy priesthood. I don't want to have to go over all this.
Well, and I had mentioned it earlier.
Don't you think they feel threatened because you're getting the truth out? They don't want the public to hear that perhaps you don't have to wear a mask, because they're in cahoots with all those that, I don't want to get all that, but,
Yeah, and you know, basically, we're looking at it, and the death rate is down. The World Health Organization has now said it's really no longer a pandemic. The CDC, as of the week ending on, you know, last weekend with the July 4th holiday, said that really it's losing its epidemic status in the United States. So how do you perpetuate everything? How do you perpetuate the fear climate that they've been cultivating so much? How do we perpetuate that? Well, you know, if you send people out with, or make people run around with masks, and people see the masks when they're out there, and they think, you know, back in April when we were having people get sick and people dying and all this terrible stuff going on, we didn't have to wear masks now. Even though I don't personally know anybody or don't see anything much happening, it must be bad or they wouldn't be making us wear these masks. So this gives the appearance that things are much worse than what they are. It also separates between the compliant and the non-compliant. Now, I'm not saying that you should never wear a mask. I'm not saying that there are no times when a mask isn't a good thing to do, but most of the time that they want you to wear a mask, it's absolutely, there's no purpose, there's no reason to it, there's no benefit to it, there might even be detriment to it, except to make people think things are much worse and to separate between the compliant and the non-compliant. And then, of course, when people see people in public without masks, it makes it easier to be convince people that the non-compliant are a threat to the health and safety of those that are wearing the masks. And then that stirs up division and peer pressure and all these things. And it also makes it easier for totalitarians to identify those who may be most resistant to their despotic globalist agenda. So hey, getting people ready. I really believe this is, we're looking at the foreshadowing of events in the tribulation period. So,
yes, don't you think it's sort of getting us ready for, they might instill a martial law because the more obedient they can make us now without questioning it, then we won't be rebelling so much. And of course, they'll be trying to take our guns away.
Well, that comes some point. You know, for our safety and our well-being, of course. They're already getting rid of our other First Amendment rights and things. Hey, we got the break coming up, Nancy. So, but I appreciate you calling and bringing that up.
Oh, thank you very much for taking my call.
All right. We'll catch up with you next time.
Keep fighting the fight.
All right. God bless. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. You can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can follow us on facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And as I've been mentioning, we've got two other social media sites that we've been using because we don't have to deal with the big brothers at facebook.com. That's usa.life. You can find us there, usa.life/livewithpastoral, just like on Facebook. Just put in usa.life instead, usa.life/livewithpastoral. And then you can go to parlor.com. That's parlor.com, and search for Pastor Al Davis. Almost forgot what I had called myself on there. Search for Pastor Al Davis, and you should find us there. And we're able to put some things on there without the hindrance and the interference that we've gotten on Facebook. So check them out. If you're looking for some alternatives, there's free services on USA.life and Parlor.life, Parlor.com, and you can get on there as well. There's becoming some more and more people, especially on Parlor.com. There's more money behind that, and there's some big names. If you listen to talk radio a lot, you'll find some names that are very familiar. If you listen to podcasts online, you'll find some names that are very familiar. If you watch politics, you'll find some names that are very familiar, conservative names all the way up to the Oval Office that you'll find at Parlor.com. So, any rate, that's enough of that advertisement there. I want to also remind you that we're brought to you tonight not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. Certainly invite you to check us out, visit us there. If you don't have a church home in the area, if your church is not meeting, there are a number of churches who are not meeting right now. And if your church is not preach or believe the Bible, why don't you come check us out. Nancy in the last half hour is talking about our Friday night Bible study. We have that every Friday night from 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock. It's an informal Bible study where you bring the questions and we discuss current events in light of God's Word and Bible questions in light of the Word of God. And it's like we do on the radio. The radio actually is an outgrowth of our Friday night Bible study. And we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road. That's 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. That's Northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland, where Ohio Turnpike crosses Interstate 77. And then, of course, on Sunday, we have our Sunday morning Bible study. We get there at 10. It takes a little while for everybody to get their coffee and donuts and talk a little bit before we get started. And then we're looking at just some various Bible verses that we're going through right now. And then on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock in our 11 o'clock morning service, just started this week preaching through the book of 1 Timothy. So that's what we're on for the time being now. And then on Sunday nights, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. And so I invite you to come out. All right. Well, having said all that, I also want to remind you about East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call them for pickup or delivery. And I got to move this around so I can see the number here. 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $8. That's East Coast Pizza. Call for pickup or delivery, 216-341-9100. They're located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. All right, getting back to our program. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, the phone lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got Terry, who's been waiting patiently for us. Terry, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Pastor L.
Good evening. Tonight we've gone all the way from Florida up into Canada now, so welcome.
It's pretty quick.
Yeah.
Thank God for the internet, I guess.
Yeah, the internet, radio, it really is amazing what we can do today. I mean, we used to think that the radio was something. Telegraph before that, remember? And then, of course, radio. And now, of course, with the internet, it's just amazing.
I remember the days when I used to hook up my TV to a curtain rod.
Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, today listening, they don't know what rabbit ears are, do they? And how rabbit ears helped your TV station to come in better.
You used to do that to get more reception on the TV.
Or a coat hanger, remember? You ever put a coat hanger on there?
Yeah, I don't know if I ever told you. I'm 60 years old. I don't know if I ever told you.
Well, yeah, I'm about the same age, so.
Yeah, you're about, what, 58 or something?
Yeah. 59.
All right. So you're pretty close to my age.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, and I can remember as a kid, a little crystal radio transistor type thing, and tuning through the dial. And at first we thought we were picking up France, but we were picking up, you know, radio out of Toronto. So we thought, wow, we've got France on the radio.
It's been, technology's gone a long ways.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder if it's gone too far, maybe, I don't know.
Well, you know, all the things that God's allowed us to develop, there's potential for great good. There's also potential for great evil. Many of the things that we're talking about and the things that have been developed recently, especially when you look at when satellite television came into service in the 60s, and now, of course, internet service, these are things that will make some of the things, and the computers that we have, not just for watching and communicating, but also keeping track of data and all these things. You know, the stage is being set more and more for the time of the tribulation when there's a one-world government with a one-world economic system and a one-world religious system, and for this one-world order to be able to control people around the world.
And they're capable of doing that now.
Yeah, well, yeah, the technology, even in the last 20 years, is advanced so much. I remember my wife and I, we came home from the Samoan Islands where we had started a church in the 1990s. We came back in 97, I believe it was, and our first internet that we had was dial-up. A lot of people don't even remember dial-up. You know, you plug that thing in, put your monitor or your modem, plug it in, and you have to activate the modem and listen to it chirp and hum and buzz, and then finally you'd get the thing that it closest thing I could explain it to somebody who's never heard it is if you've ever used a fax machine and you wait until the fax machine hooks up and synchronizes with the other fax machine, you hear that the chirping and everything, and then finally that thing, and then the fax goes through. But your modem had to do that before, and to watch a 5-minute video, I think, took about 15 minutes to download.
I was calling in tonight. I've had a busy week actually. Studying, I've been studying the Catholic Church and the Catholic doctrine and the Muslim doctrine. So I just got finished reading a book actually called The Muslim it's called Muslim Christians and Jesus, and it's by Carl Medars.
Okay.
It's about gaining understanding and building relationship
mm-hmm.
with the Muslim people. You know, the one thing you don't want to say to a Muslim right off the hop when you first meet him is, for instance, is that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And that would stop the conversation right off the hop. Right?
And yeah, because they believe that Jesus is a prophet like Muhammad, but Muhammad is the greatest of the prophets. And
right.
Yeah.
I asked a Muslim the other day, I said, what's the difference between Jesus and Muhammad? He says, there's no difference in the prophets. Like, they're all the same.
Yeah, and then they, of course, go right on to deny that because they believe that Muhammad's the greatest of the prophets.
Right.
And, there's a lot of duplicity in Islam. I mean, I've read the Quran. I was just looking in my bag here, and I usually have it with me here, and I don't because I have some things where I've jotted down notes as I read through it, comparing it with the scripture. And a lot of people do not realize that Muhammad did not write the Quran. People assume that he did. Muhammad was illiterate. He could not write. He could not read. He supposedly received these revelations from Michael the archangel, but initially he thought he was receiving them from an evil jinn, an evil spirit. Jinn and genie, that's where we get the name, the word. It was his wife at the time who convinced him that it wasn't an evil spirit, but it was an angel, a holy angel. And so then he spoke these things, and people wrote down what he said. And it wasn't until, what was it, the third or something like that, Caliph Othman, I believe it was. I can't think of the year just yet, but it was after Muhammad was assassinated and after the wars where many of the Muslims after Muhammad was killed said, well, you know, let's go back to our old way of life. And then so they had some basically civil war within the Muslim nations and to make sure everybody got back in and stayed with the faith. And then Othman come along and said, you know, we got all these competing versions of the Quran, and many of them are incomplete. And they called for everybody around the known world to forward and send all copies of the Quran that they had, portions and things, to them. And then they burned them all. It was the first great Quran burning event.
Yeah.
And they burned them all, and Othman issued the official Quran. So actuality, we don't know that the Quran that Othman issued was even anything remotely like what Muhammad said. We only have Othman's word for it.
We don't know for sure what Muhammad actually said.
Yeah, exactly, because it was written down sometimes on bits of papyrus, sometimes on bits of bark, sometimes on stone. It's all kinds of things. But so Othman gave us the Quran.
His wife convinced him to go back into the cave and
right.
Make sure they got it right. But so he did.
Yeah.
And he came out of the cave a changed person.
Yeah, and so, obviously he wasn't being given information by Michael the archangel. Michael would not come and give him information that conflicts with the Bible, and I'm pretty sure that Michael the archangel would have been aware that Haman was an official during the time of Esther and King Artaxerxes, and not with Pharaoh and Moses and all that in Egypt, when the Hebrew children were imprisoned there or were in bondage there. The Quran has Haman as Pharaoh's prime minister when, of course, he didn't live until hundreds of years later. I think Michael the Archangel would have been aware of that tiny little error. And if I remember correctly, and I think the Quran also at one point claims that Mary, the mother of Christ, was a sister of Moses, along with Miriam. And I think Michael the Archangel would have been aware of that slight discrepancy, too.
A lot of hope, Mary, too.
Yeah.
They talk more about Mary and what's actually written in the Bible.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, and also I think that Michael the archangel would have been aware that Jesus did indeed die on the cross and was indeed buried, so whatever spirit was talking to Muhammad, giving him the Quran, obviously wasn't sent from God. He was obviously a false spirit giving false information. And but of course, you know, the Muslims have a unique way of accounting for the discrepancies. Well, if something was given later, it supersedes whatever was written before. That's the simple way of doing it.
I didn't know Muhammad was assassinated.
He was poisoned.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was poisoned.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
One thing I did is I took, like in this book, there was a lot of scriptures on the Bible that he wrote down, and he gave the explanation of what the Quran says about it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them didn't even make sense.
Oh yeah, and part of that, you have to remember, because Muhammad was illiterate, he wasn't able to go to the scriptures, and we're going on the assumption that he actually wrote the Quran that we have today. People assume that he could look stuff up, but he couldn't. He was basically remembering stories, because when he started out in Mecca, you know, before he was kicked out of Mecca, Mecca was a center where a lot of merchant travel came through there, and they didn't have newspapers, they didn't have television, radio, internet, all this sort of thing. So when people came in from out of the area, people wanted to hear the news, hear stories, hear things that were happening in the world out there. And so Muhammad, sitting there in Mecca, would have heard stories and things about Jewish traditions and Christian traditions and Zoroastrian traditions and other traditions. And so the Quran, as a result, is kind of a mishmash of all these various religious traditions, according to Muhammad's remembrance of them, and he mixed up characters and situations in many cases, and sometimes changed them around elsewhere in the Quran. And so, as a consequence, yeah, it's hard to follow.
Yeah, the Quran's been changed so many times over the years that, you know, how can
the other fallback excuse too, and I'm looking at the clock here, I got another caller yet too, but I was going to say another fallback thing sometimes when you discuss things with Muslims with the Quran as your source of information is that are you talking about the Quran in Hebrew or in Arabic or another language like Hebrew or English or French or German? Because technically, a Quran that's not in Arabic is not really a Quran. It's merely a paraphrase or something like that. And my Quran that's in English even says that in there, because only official Quran is in Arabic. And then of course you got the hadiths, which, and even in the hadiths, the stories about what Muhammad did and said, they supersede the Quran. So yeah, it's convenient. Whenever there's a mistake, you just go by whatever was the most recent and just keep that throughout the rest. So yep. Kind of nice. It's an easy way to get past the mistakes and the contradictions. So.
So much deception, it's just unreal.
Yeah,
they believe it. But they got to, by works, they believe that they got to get the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and all that.
Well, there's so many false religions out there. The best way to be able to tell a false religion is to know what the truth of the Bible is. Somebody told me a long time ago, best way to show somebody they got a crooked stick is to put a straight stick alongside of it.
Well, John, first epistle of John, chapter 4, I believe, says that try the spirits wherever they are,
right,
for there's many false prophets.
Exactly, and one of the things is if they deny Christ,
right?
Especially, it's talking about the deity of Christ, and Islam denies the deity of Christ. So that alone, right there, shows you that it's a false religion. Hey Terry, I got to get to my next caller here before I run out of time.
Okay,
but that's a good point. Keep up the studies. Appreciate that. So thank you so much, Terry. And we've got Tom calling in, and we come back to Ohio for Tom. So, Tom, welcome to the program tonight.
Hey, Pastor Al, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Well, I second everything Nancy said about you.
Well, we've had you on our Bible study a time or two as well. We appreciate every time you come out.
I know it's coming there. I'm going to have to try to get down there this coming Friday. I'm hoping to come back down and sit in with you guys.
Well, we look forward to having you. And it's been a nice problem. We've had to get out extra chairs lately. So
I know. You know, we should start quit calling this social media. Start calling it socialist media.
You're right with some of that because some of these things are very much biased in that direction.
Oh, it's getting to be ridiculous. You know, it's purposed that way. It's, you know, I think anything with conservative or Christian, it's like, you know, they're doing everything they can to suppress it. And even have you noticed over the year, ever since this COVID thing started, that they don't want to give Trump any even when he speaks and that the news media, they're not airing much on television anymore with Trump.
Well, and you're right. Twitter, I think it was. Was it Twitter? I think it was that, or Instagram. One of them. You know, they tried to not run some of his things, but the other thing too is President Trump has not been doing as many press conferences on the COVID, the coronavirus situation either. But you are right. They don't want to give him much press because, you know, when he's right. And it's obvious that he's right. It's hard work for them to try and convince people that he wasn't really right. Look at all the work they had to do on the hydroxychloroquine stuff that was proven over and over to be effective. And yet they still, and another case just came out saying, proving that hydroxychloroquine is effective.
Well, there's supposed to be another doctor that's come up with a therapy, and he's using... rather than injecting people with, like, this steroid, he's actually using an aerator in the room.
Yeah, like a nebulizer, I think, is the one I saw.
I've heard he's had great success with it.
It's, what is that drug? It begins with an R, REM something or other. And, I just can't say it tonight. But they had to give it in the hospital intravenous. And as a result of this nebulizer treatment, you don't necessarily have to be admitted to the hospital to get it. So it allows people to get it a little earlier on. And that's the key with some of these things, because hydroxychloroquine, it's a drug that's been around for many years. You give that along with zinc supplements and different things. It's not just the standalone hydroxychloroquine. There's zinc supplements and
my son's a doctor, and the first thing he told us when this thing broke out is he said, double your intake of zinc.
We're
taking like 50 to 60 milligrams of zinc.
Oh, yeah, and the reason for that, it's sound medical advice. My wife's an RN, and we have a friend who has a relative who's a nurse practitioner, and she gave us a sheet of things that we should take, and that was one of the same things. Because see, the cells have zinc receptors, and those zinc receptors is where the coronavirus latches on, and when you have enough zinc, it fills the zinc receptors, makes it hard for the virus to latch on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I got a real quick question. I don't know if you have
yes,
time
sir.
To answer.
Oh, we got about a minute and a half, I think.
Okay, basically, I know this thing with the masks. Now we're under a mandate here in Summit County, and we haven't been wearing the masks when we go out shopping, unless there's like one store we like to shop, and they've been requiring the masks right along ever since this thing started. So we comply with that. But I mean, you know, there's people out there, too, they're trying to shame Christians by not wearing them. And what's your take on this? Because... you know, I mean, people have gone so far to say that, you know, well, if you're wearing the mask, that proves you'll take the mark of the beast and stuff like that. I think that's kind of a cruel statement.
Oh, yeah, I agree with what you just said. But having said that, I do believe that wearing masks is getting people in a receptive frame of mind.
I do, too. But the thing of it is, here's the thing, you know, at my age, I really don't want to be confronted or fined out there are confronted with people. Some people are getting very nasty, angry about this and confronting people.
Yeah, and I was going to say, too, that Cuyahoga County has a hotline where you can see somebody not wearing a mask. They want you to call, take a picture of them, send them the picture.
Yeah,
and it just came out, the Stowe Police, the city of Stowe in Summit County, is going to be enforcing mask compliance and everything.
Well, that's where I live.
Well, keep praying. Keep your heart right with God. Do the best you can. Sometimes you need the mask. Sometimes you get away without it. But, hey, we're out of time, Tom. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.